بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا. A warm welcome to this Tuesday morning live edition of Living the Legacy here on Radio Islam International. It's time for us to turn our focus and attention to our monthly theme, and we're currently looking at the keys to success. We've looked in the past at what the Quranic and Sunnah definition, the prophetic definition or and perspective on happiness is. We've looked at what it means to be happy as a Muslim. We also sought to understand what contentment of heart, mind and soul is about and why this is so elusive for so many Muslims. We've looked throughout the weeks at solutions. After having understood and identified what the barriers to spiritual happiness are all about, it's time for us to move further on in this topic of happiness and contentment of heart. But before we do that, let's move into some of the points that can help with happiness. What can we do differently? What can we do more of? What should we be doing more of to ensure that we're living much happier lives as Muslims? Now, before we begin with that, one of the most powerful affirmations for happiness and to identify happiness is one of the adhkar that we are or we should be reciting daily. And it is, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِسَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا. Where we affirm, I am pleased with Allah as my Lord, with Islam as my religion, and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as my prophet. This dhikr is mentioned in Abu Dawood, and it is part of the morning and evening routine, dhikr routine for most believers. It is a profound affirmation in which we declare that the three most important things in our lives are what make us happy, what make us fulfilled, and what keep us contented. Knowing and living in that sense of surety and contentment of Allah as our Lord, Islam as our religion, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our Prophet are the three greatest blessings that we have. My challenge to you is, when you next read that, this adhkar, this dhikr, tonight, tomorrow, and every other day, I'd like you to reflect on it as you recite it. Reflect on what it means to you, what true contentment really is, and how the happiness that one experiences as a believer cannot be equated or fulfilled or replaced or substituted by anything else, except by the pleasure of Allah. When you recite this dhikr, وَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِسَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا, reflect on how these three points are central to our happiness. Worshipping Allah, believing Allah, having conviction and firm faith in Allah is the one and the most important stepping stone and ingredient to happiness. Then knowing that Islam is your religion, your lifestyle, your identity is the second. And the third is knowing and acknowledging that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is your prophet, your messenger. Knowing that is in acknowledging his sunnah, his lifestyle, his teachings, his wisdom, his explanation to us of the Quran, and an understanding of his seerah. So this dua, this dhikr, when you recite it next, remember that it has so much more to do with us understanding what true spiritual happiness is all about. Now, scientists have found that 40% of our happiness cannot be achieved by money or anything materialistic, and that true happiness is not forthcoming of anything transitory. The true happiness and contentment can only be attained through activities which are not fleeting. So, what does this mean? I'd like to share with you 10 steps in the light of Quran and Hadith that makes our lives happier. Number 1, seek the pleasure of Allah. Nothing can make us more happier than seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran about what is the greatest happiness, calling it a supreme success, and about the people who deserve this supreme success. In Surah Tawbah, verses 71 and 72, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "The believers, men and women, are awliya of one another. They enjoin al-ma'roof, which is good, and forbid from al-munkar, which is evil. They perform as-salah and give the zakat and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah will have mercy on them. Surely Allah is almighty or wise. Allah has promised the believers, men and women, gardens under which rivers flow to dwell therein forever, and beautiful mansions in gardens of Adn. But the greatest bliss is the good pleasure of Allah. That is the supreme success." So the first step to living happier lives is seeking the pleasure of Allah. The second step is thankfulness. The more thankful we are to Allah, the more He will shower His bounties upon us. Appreciation of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with is vital. It is an act of worship. When you thank Allah, when you are grateful to Allah, you are engaged in an act of worship. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 172, Allah says, "O you who believe, eat of the good things that we have provided for you, and be grateful to Allah, if it is Him you worship." Number 3, satisfy your soul. So, work on activities that result in internal happiness, that will bring satisfaction and a smile to your heart. Not only a smile to the face by doing meaningful work, but try and take part in activities like feeding the poor, helping out in an orphanage, assisting people who are distressed, helping others, rather than just killing your resources like time and money. There is a hadith mentioned in Al-Bukhari, which is something as follows. It says, "True enrichment does not come through possessing a lot of wealth, but true enrichment is the enrichment of the soul." So the first three steps to being or leading a happier life is seeking the pleasure of Allah, secondly, being thankful, and thirdly, satisfying your soul. The fourth step to living a happier life is to avoid worldly comparisons. So, and this is something we discussed in much detail last week, is one of the key stones, stepping stones, to making sure that you're living a happier life is, don't look at celebrities, at rich people, affluent people above you in worldly matters. That's not the ideal life in the eyes of Allah. Rather, admire the lives of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Khadija radiallahu anha. These are our role models. In a hadith mentioned in Al-Muslim, "Look at those below you," meaning less fortunate than you, "and don't look at those above you, for this is better." So the fourth stepping stone to happiness, avoiding worldly comparisons. Number 5, expect only from Allah. Any sustenance, any provision, any reward we expect is from Allah alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah An-Kabut, verse 60, "And so many a moving, living creature there is, that carries not its own provision. Allah provides for it and for you. And He is the All-Hearer, the All-Knower." Number 6, serve others and maintain relations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam strongly advised to maintain family ties, to keep strong relations, and he taught us the etiquettes of social relations. In a hadith mentioned in Al-Bayhaqi, all created beings are the dependents of Allah, and the most beloved of creation to Allah is the one who is good to his dependents. Number 7. Organize your life and get adequate rest. So a very important step to make sure that we are on a path to happiness is to ensure that we have better, more efficient productivity. The Prophet ﷺ chose a simple life over a glamorous one, and he was always content. So a person who plans their day is much more productive than a person who doesn't. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ, when we look at his day and night and how his time was structured, he would carefully apportion time according to the demands on him. He would have time for worshipping Allah, time for personal matters, time for public affairs. In fact, in a hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim and Tirmidhi, on the authority of Ali radiallahu anhu, Tirmidhi has recorded that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had carefully apportioned his time according to the demands on him for offering worship to Allah and his personal matters. After the early morning prayers, he would remain sitting in the masjid reciting the praise of Allah till the sun rose and more people collected. He would then preach to them. After the sermons were over, he would talk genially with the people, inquire about their welfare, and even exchange jokes with them. Taxes and revenues were also distributed at this time. And then furthermore, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, it's mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would then offer the chaste salah and go home and get busy with household work. So the seventh step in living a happier life is to organize your life and to make sure that you get adequate rest. The eighth stepping stone to happiness, build a support network. Remember, when you're feeling a part of a larger group, it gives you a sense of security and a safety net to fall into on occasions of both happiness and hardships. And of course, the concept of brotherhood and sisterhood is a central theme of Islam. In one of the most often quoted ahadith, the example of believers in their mutual love, care and concern is like a single person. If his eye complains of pain, his whole body complains of pain. And if his head complains of pain, his whole body complains of pain. The ninth stepping stone to happiness is eating halal. So consume halal and you will find that you're living a more wholesome, happier and healthier life. Why? Consuming halal is an order of Allah. It's an essential part of our faith. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeatedly emphasized the consumption of halal in the Quran. But there is one hadith that it outlines to you and I very, very clearly the impact and consequence of eating anything which is not halal. Listen to this. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu related, Allah's Messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily Allah is pure and He accepts only what is pure. And indeed Allah has given those orders to the believers which He has given to the messengers. He has said, O Messenger, eat from the pure foods and work righteous. He also has said, O you who have believed, eat from the pure things which we have provided you. Then the Prophet ﷺ made mention of a man who undergoes a lengthy journey in a state that he is disheveled and dusty. He spreads his hands towards the sky, calling, O my Lord, O my Lord. However, his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothes are haram, and he has been nourished with haram. So how will his call be answered? And the tenth step towards living a happy life, well, scientists claim that one of the benefits of exercise is that it makes you feel happy. In fact, many doctors describe exercise as an antidepressant. So, for example, certain chemicals like endorphins increase drastically after a good workout, and it's said that this is what contributes to that feel-good feeling afterwards. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith mentioned in Al-Muslim, a strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, while there is good in both. So here are some 10 steps that you can implement on a very practical level in your life based on the Quran and Sunnah, so that inshallah you can live a happier life. Let's go through those 10 points that we've covered one more time. Number 1, seek the pleasure of Allah. Number 2, be thankful. Number 3, satisfy your soul. Number 4, avoid worldly comparisons. Number 5, expect only from Allah. Number 6, serve others and maintain relations. Number 7, get adequate rest and organize your life. Number 8, build a support group. Number 9, eat halal. And number 10, keep fit. It's 28 minutes past the hour of 10 Central African Time. I'd love to hear from you. What are your stepping stones towards happiness? What do you do? How do you live as a real practical Muslim, ensuring that you are living a happy and contented life? What are your secrets to living a happy life? I'd love to know. You can drop your email to Rayhana, rayhanah@gmail.com. Or you could send a text message or WhatsApp message to +60 13 260 8592. We're going to go for our first break of the hour. When we return, we turn our focus back again to happiness and we seek to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us to in the Quran, and specifically we're looking at Surah Duha. All of this and your correspondence coming up in the second half of the program. Stay with us.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
With 27 four investment managers, you don't have to compromise your future or your values. Invest in 27 four investment managers Sharia compliant equity fund. After all, it is the top performing Sharia equity fund in South Africa. For all your Sharia compliant investment needs, call us today on 011-442-2464. That's 011-442-2464. 27 four investment managers is an authorized financial services provider.
Avoid costly labor mistakes by joining Professor Raja as he discusses the rules and regulations of our South African labor law. Tune in on Tuesday evenings from 7:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. for an informative and eye-opening session on labor legislation, documents and policies.
حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي غير الله صل وسلم يا الله على محمد رسول الله حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي غير الله صل وسلم يا الله على محمد رسول الله حسبي ربي جل الله ما في قلبي غير الله
أنا درة مكنونة أنا
This is Living the Legacy with Hafiza Rayana on Radio Islam International. Stay inspired.
We're talking happiness on our Tuesday morning program, and for this month we've been covering happiness on many different angles. We began by putting down the foundation and asking the question of what is the Quranic and prophetic perspective on happiness? What does it mean to be happy as a Muslim? We then went on to look at the seerah very briefly to understand how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite all the challenges he faced in life and that presented in his life, he remained cheerful and happy in his countenance. We also then looked at, for the last 2 weeks, as we have been looking at keys and steps on how to remain happy, how to be contented. And now, of course, we're looking more towards spiritual happiness and asking the question of what is it that we can and should be doing more of and differently to ensure that we're living happy lives. And I think what's so important is that when we talk about happiness, it's not about life being perfect, but about making every effort to be happy and to be contented. And is that part of the challenge of life is overcoming whatever challenges we have and understanding that we need to find a way out. We need to find the happiness. We need to understand what is part of our checklist. I think it was about 3 weeks ago that we spoke about a checklist, and we said, as Muslims, top of the checklist should be, am I connecting, am I truly connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because this is so important for us as Muslims. We also have said that happiness is a choice you make. You can choose to be happy, you can choose to be cheerful in whichever situation you are in. And choosing to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you and that He is helping you out if you find yourself in a difficult situation. And at the end of the day, happiness comes from self-consistency. Happiness is when what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony. Now, it's human nature to want your thoughts, your words, and deeds to be consistent. But you'll often find yourself trying to fit the mold of what other people want instead of being fully and consistently yourself. And that leads to conflict in your mind, which eventually leads to a less happy life. And so happiness is your responsibility. Don't wait for other people to be happy for you. Right? Any happiness you've got to make for yourself. The other thing is that happiness is best served in moderation. So we can't expect to be happy if we expect to live all the time at the highest peak of intensity in happiness. So there needs to be a balance, there needs to be a type of harmony as well. And that's what we achieve through Islam. The next is that happiness is not in our memories. Because many of us often live in our past and claim that to be happiness. So live in the present, take value from your learnings of the past, and look towards living this moment, this day, in the obedience and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing is that happiness is contagious. Happiness, you know, if you're smiling, it makes the next person feel happier. If you're laughing, it makes the next person have an equal amount of effect upon them. So wherever you are, wherever you go, share your happiness with people around you. Meet others and meet them with a smiling face. And if you can, surround yourself with happy people. So there are many secrets of happy people, things that tell us such as happiness can't be bought, happiness can't be compared, and that's all very much true. Happiness is making every day matter, living that day for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Happiness means knowing what you love. Happiness is a gift, so let's learn to accept it. And I think many of us find that so difficult where we don't allow ourselves this gift or many other gifts in life. We feel perhaps we are unworthy of it or undeserving of it. But if Allah has blessed you with the opportunity to be happy, and He has, each of us, then let's accept the gift of happiness and let's live by that happiness, inshallah. Would like to hear from you. What are your key secrets, your key stepping stones that allow you to live life and operate from a highly effective point of happiness and contentment? Now remember, as human beings, there are six human needs that we experience. And these six human needs consist of certainty, variety, significance, connection, and love, growth, and contribution. So take a moment every morning and be clear with what your human needs are. These human needs are what matter to you the most. Now for some people, connection and love and contribution are their highest human needs. For others, it's variety, your certainty, your growth. So live each and every day in alignment with your human needs, with your values, and inshallah you will experience a higher and greater level of happiness. Another key to happiness is taking a moment and reflecting on the question we ask each week. What is my legacy? It's important for you to think long term. What do you want to be remembered by? What do you want to be remembered by? When you're able to be clear with your legacy, you are more likely to work towards your legacy. So, if you want to be remembered as helping people live a fulfilling and rewarding life, you need to live with this legacy every single day. Ask yourself, how am I going to use my talents, my abilities, my life experience, my resources to live this legacy? So ask yourself the question, if you haven't as yet, what do you want, what do I want to be remembered by? Also, ask yourself, am I surrounding myself with positive people? When it comes to your happiness, the people with whom you're surrounded by will influence you. In fact, we know that we're more likely to conform when we are in a group setting. So, who are the types of people you hang around with? If you surround yourself with negative people, their negativity will rub off onto you. If you surround yourself with positive energy, positive people, their energy will rub off onto you. You do have a choice of deciding who your friends are. And if you want to be happy, choose your friends wisely. Another important thing is to ask yourself, where am I now in comparison to where I want to be? So even when it comes down to happiness, to put yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you in terms of happiness? Where do you hope to be? Knowing and identifying exactly where you are in terms of your happiness and where it is that you want to be headed towards helps make that shift much, much easier. When we look back on happiness, one of the key things is knowing that everything we do and everything we say and the way in which we live our lives is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even in deciding and choosing to operate from a space of happiness, that too should be for the sake and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are happier, when we are more contented, we can lead more spiritually productive and effective lives, impacting not only on our own selves and our families, but the world at large. One of the surahs, when we talk about happiness and contentment of heart, that highlights what spiritual happiness is all about, is Surah Al-Duha. The surah that appears in Juz Amma, the 30th para, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by the morning brightness. The surah begins where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْضُحَى. So, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with waw al-qasam, it indicates taking on an oath. It could be with a waw, as it is in this case, وَالْضُحَى. It could be with a ba, or fa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath. And this is very, very important, because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by something, it is not by everything, but very few matters that are brought about and explained in the Qur'an. Amongst the phenomena we notice when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath is that of nature and time. Now, in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides great discomfort. And the comfort provided to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is perhaps the most beautiful verse. Verse 3, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Lord has not taken leave of you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor has he detested you. Now we know the reason of revelation and the explanation behind this was that Abu Jahl's wife had said this, and you know, she had ill-treated the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this was her attempt to try and dissuade or to destroy Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this verse, it was a reassurance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was with him, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not left him, nor had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserted him. And this itself, a comfort, a reassurance from the Lord of the world, there can be no greater reassurance than this itself. The surah goes on and continues to explain how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings upon blessings, the ni'mah, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah in the next verse, in verse 5, that Allah wants to increase certainty for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah told him, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And then Allah said, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And your Lord is going to give you, and you will be satisfied. But what is so interesting is that in the surah, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains and reminds the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is not alone through whatever he's experiencing, and that Allah is going to increase everything for him. And that even though Allah found him an orphan, gave him refuge, found him lost, gave him guidance, found him poor, made him self-sufficient, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is what is so beautiful at the end of the surah, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. But as for the favor of your Lord, report or proclaim it. So that even though we each go through our fair share of problems, difficulties, anxieties, worries, sadness, to remember to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we look at the surah in its entirety, we come to realize that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by the morning brightness, he reminds Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gives him comfort that he is with him and has not left him. And then reminds him that it was him who had given him refuge when he did not have it, and who had guided him and who made him self-sufficient. And with all of these blessings and bounties, the greatest aspect of it was the command at the end, and that is to proclaim or report upon, proclaim is the better choice, to proclaim on the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bounties, the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it's a reminder to us that sometimes in our difficulty or emptiness, sadness, that we need to establish our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to seek nearness to Him. And when we do seek that nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will find the true sense of comfort that each of us are looking for. Remember, every human being needs to find his creator and then know that his or her creator loves him or her. So this is what we're going to leave you at this point, and we're going to go for a break, but on the thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send gifts in your life, sending gifts your way, and that Allah will always brighten up your day. Remember, your relationship with Allah is eternal, and that is enough cause to make us happy. Let's take our last break of the hour, and when we return, more on a different dimension of happiness and your correspondence. Stay with us.
Visit Sharma Spice on Nirvana Drive Extension 13 in Lanesha for all your fresh, teened and tasty Indian spices at affordable prices. Snowflake cake flour with pan oil, Bimri rice, Fiji rice, Lal Killa rice. Call us now on 011-852-2768.
Flour for Syria. As Syria plunges deeper into conflict, hunger has become a way of life for the Syrian population. Support the Al-Imdad Foundation's Flour for Syria campaign, and for only 4,750 rand, you can provide 1 ton of flour, which will produce 10,000 pita bread. Help us reach our target of 1,000 tons of flour. Visit alimdad.com or call 0861 786 243.
The Lanesha Muslim Association, your partner in fulfilling your responsibility of granting your child the greatest gift of basic fir dini education. We urge you not to compromise on this need of your child, which will be Thawab Ijariya for you. The Lanesha Muslim Association invites you to earn Thawab Ijariya by educating a learner at only 250 rand per month or part thereof. A few rands in the LMA 10 will keep the wheels turning of serving Madrasa and Masjid.
Khidmatul Awam is once again making Hajj possible at amazingly affordable packages at Frontline Hotels. 6 weeks package from just 21,999 rand. 4 weeks package from just 18,250 rand. Accommodation in Medina at 5-star Hyatt, International and Mövenpick Al Medina. In Makkah, Darul Khufran and Mövenpick. Our exciting Aqsa tour and extended stay in Makkah. All packages include Dum and Tanazul. Contact us on 011-852-8551 and visit us at 5 Sacred Wall Street, Extension 3, Lanesha.
Radio Islam International Elections 2014. Putting you in pole position. Make your mark to mark your future. War of the Words. Radio Islam will be hosting a debate with various political parties on Wednesday, the 23rd of April 2014 at the Nur al-Islam Auditorium after Isha at 7:45 p.m. The debate will be live on Radio Islam. The War of the Words. Radio Islam International's unprecedented coverage of elections 2014. Putting you in pole position. Make your mark to mark your future.
You are tuned to Living the Legacy on Radio Islam International.
Turning now to your correspondence, and one is an email from Sister Sumaya. It says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Happiness for me is the conscious decision waking up every morning knowing that Allah has blessed me with another day, with iman, with the chance to perform salah, to take care of my family, to earn halal rizq. The list goes on, and I'm just so grateful. That is happiness, isn't it? Jazakallah for a wonderful program. Wassalam, Sumaya. JazakAllah, Sister Sumaya, for your contribution. Absolutely, you've said it perfectly. That is happiness itself. The next is a message. It says, where is happiness? More than 5 billion people are searching for it. But where is it? If happiness was in the hand, then the one whose wrist is adorned with a designer watch, worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, euros, rands, etc., or whose fingers have been ringed with priceless diamonds, or the one who counts huge bundles of his money every day, would always be very happy. If happiness was in the eyes, then the one who lives in the most scenic of places, with his most luxurious, expensive, and eye-catching possessions, such as furniture, cars, clothing, etc., in front of him all the time, would forever be elated. If happiness was in the stomach, the person feasting on delicacies would have been continuously ecstatic, while the one eating simple, basic food would have been very miserable. However, nobody has found happiness in possessions or objects. Happiness is in the heart. If the heart is happy, the joy of the heart permeates every part of the body, irrespective of whether the hand does not have a rand, or whether the stomach has only been filled with bread and water. The question is, how does the heart gain happiness? The foundation of happiness is iman. The pillars of this happiness are righteous actions and the qualities of iman. Among the foremost qualities of iman that brings happiness to the heart and fill one's life with peace and tranquility is qana'ah, contentment. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Verily, true wealth is the contentment of the heart." Wahab bin Muyammah radiallahu anhu expressed this reality in the form of an anecdote. Respect and wealth went out one day to search for a companion. They met contentment and permanently stayed over with him. The message is clear. Respect and true wealth is to be found in contentment. Otherwise, one will be forever poor and miserable despite owning billions. And that was sent to us by one of our listeners as well. Now, as we prepare to draw to a close of today's program, I'm going to share two more things with you. I'm going to share with you some practical tips for happiness. So we're going more in detail with that. But also, just a quick recap, as I've had a few emails requesting that, of the 10 points we mentioned today, what are some of the steps you and I can take to live happier lives? The 10 steps: seeking the pleasure of Allah, being thankful to Him, satisfying your soul, avoiding worldly comparisons, expecting only from Allah, serving others and maintaining relations, getting adequate rest and organizing your life, building a support group, eating halal, and keeping fit. These are the 10 points we mentioned in the steps that you and I can take to experience greater happiness in our lives, and all within the framework of Quran and Sunnah, and actually based on that itself. We're now going to look at then the practical steps that we can take on a daily basis, or how we can create more meaningful lives filled with greater happiness for ourselves. Make a list of your happiest memories. And what you could do is to keep a list of just perhaps the three most happiest memories of your life. Keep a list up on your filing cabinet, your fridge magnet, dressing table, somewhere that you're going to see it regularly or daily. So a list of your happiest memories. Then make a list of things that make you happy. It could be something tangible or intangible. Then identify regular acts of kindness. Even if you were to begin with three, right, what are three regular acts of kindness that you are doing already in your life or that you would like to be doing? Then identify three regular acts of gratitude. Perhaps three things that when you do these things, you experience gratitude for yourself. So not about others experiencing gratitude for you or expressing gratitude to you, but you feeling or you experiencing gratitude. So three regular acts of kindness and three regular acts of gratitude, making a list of things that make you happy and making a list of your happiest memories. And I promise you, once you sit down, you do this list, you realize that you have so much to be happy for, so much to be grateful about as well. So these really are the choices that we have. We have a choice to find the tools, find the resources, and to allow ourselves to live happier and more spiritually productive lives. We also have a choice to remain unhappy if we wish. Now, I want us to establish some principles on happiness. We've been discussing this topic for the last few weeks, and it's important we establish principles that keep us grounded on the topic of happiness. If you can't do anything about it, don't worry about it. Work on yourself, you'll be happy. Truly, happiness comes when we practice altruism. Never just work for the sake of doing something. When you develop a pessimistic mindset, have an optimistic outlook, and remind yourself your best days are yet to come. Remember, the average criticism benefits no one except your own ego. If it's not constructive, then by default, it's going to be destructive. So these are some of the important points that we need to look at, because they also hinder our happiness. And remember, when we worry about things beyond our control, then we forget about two very important elements. And that is the element of tawakkul and understanding qadr. Remember, another thing that hinders happiness is when we start judging people's intentions. Another thing that hinders happiness is when we are very critical, or when we work for our own personal gain, or when we either vilify or glorify our past. Let's live in the present moment, aware and conscious of our past, and also working towards a very bright future. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, make us of those who live happy and contented lives, and I hope that the steps we've learned together today about seeking lives of greater happiness will help you and I in our future journey ahead. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and I, guide us on the straight path, grant us happy, contented lives, and as always, a reminder, try and keep a gratitude journal. It makes an immense difference in how you view your life and how you project it to others around you. We'll meet again then on Thursday at 2 p.m. for a live edition of Revival in Motion. Until then, stay inspired. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.